Hey everybody, my name is Austin.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Colton.
And we're three close friends who have a desire to share our lives, experiences, and our pursuit of Christ, all from a biblical perspective.
You're listening to the Exiles Podcast. Let's talk about it.
All right, we are back with another episode of the Exiles Podcast. We're gonna be missing one of our trusty sidekicks, according to Jonathan. But no, Jonathan is out. He has not been feeling well. He's been sick, and so he's part of the reason why we didn't get to record last week. Actually,
he's had the COVIDs.
Well, no, he has.
Long COVID
is what they call it. But I was reading up on it, you know, because I really care about my friends.
That's right.
But I was reading up on it, and long COVID, to my understanding, is not actually COVID, but it's the side effects or that happen after the symptoms have passed. Mm. So like the pain that he's experiencing or whatever are all side effects of having COVID, which is, I don't know. It seems like they're coming up with new terms all the time.
Man, you know what's wild?
What?
You know, China created COVID in a lab.
Okay,
there's no repercussions whatsoever.
No.
we can't talk about that on the podcast.
No, because that's not, no.
Is that too controversial?
There is something I did want to mention. I wanted all three of us to be together, but I'm grown impatient in mentioning this.
Oh no.
But I wanted you to know, Colton, that you have gained quite a reputation amongst some of our listeners. They to your defense.
Nice.
And some of them just make funny comments about you.
I need an example, yeah.
Well, one of our listeners, we'll call him D-Mac. D-Mac, he chimed in a couple weeks ago and he sent me a message and he said, "Hey, I think you're being a little bit unfair to Colton. He's only mentioned that he's on his phone too much and his child has called him out twice, not three times. Just want to make sure you got the facts right." And I was like, okay. Now this next one, I have another one, and this one is hilarious to me. One of these guys that listen, they messaged me and we were talking back and forth about some things. It's actually a guy that I used to disciple back in Cleveland. And I sent him this acronym. I can't even remember the acronym. But it all started with, I sent him like SMH, you know, shake my head or LOL, laugh out loud. And he's like, "You know how to use that?" And I'm like, "What?" Bro, who do you think? Like, my generation was like, I was my brother's generation.
We invented those.
Yeah, like we were the people who had to type one button three times just to get to the letter C. But we didn't want to sit there and type. And so I sent him this message with this acronym. And I can't remember what it was. Oh, here it is. I said, "I wasn't going to bring it up this time," talking about something that I told him so about. That was right. "That I'm not going to bring it up." Then I said, "BIWBYDTTYS." And he was like, "Is that even English?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's an acronym. It's pretty well known. Everybody should know it. I mean, I'm surprised that you don't know it." And he Googled it and he says, "Name three people that know it." And I said, "David Mack, Luke Johnson, and Colton Fremont."
Wait, what's the acronym?
I can't remember right now, but let me get to this point. As soon as I told him the three people, he's like, "Well, I don't know, David." And he said, "And Colton gives off these wannabe cool vibes on the podcast." And I think he felt bad about that, because then he says, "Colton sounds like a genuinely nice and funny dude."
He had to follow it up. That's hilarious.
So what I did was I text Luke and I said, "Hey, Luke, if this guy texts you, tell him that this is what this acronym means." So as soon as I text him that Luke and David and you all three know the acronym, he texts Luke, and Luke immediately says, "But it's whatever because you did this to yourself." And then he goes, "You didn't know that?" And this guy, all he does is he texts back and he says, "Austin."
Man, I love it when people don't realize that they're getting messed with.
Oh man, he was getting so this guy is the king at was it gaslighting? Is that what it
is? I don't know.
Liddy
knows all about gaslighting.
Gaslighting. Sure. I don't know. He's surely gonna text me about this. Maybe he won't, but
that's awesome. Well, I'm glad to be back. I know that we definitely missed out last week, but here we are, Austin, together again. We're gonna miss Jonathan for a week or so. But that's gonna be okay. You know, he doesn't even really listen to us anyways, but it is what it is. What are we talking about this week, man? What's on the docket?
This week we are gonna be talking about you know, we've been going through the one another's, and so I was hesitant to, you know, I wanted to kind of stop to, you know, let Jonathan come back, but you know, we have so many of them that he'll have plenty to talk through, and I'm sure that I might miss one or you might miss one. And so we're gonna keep on trucking. But today's topic is hospitality.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, we want to hospitality one another.
That's it. Well, this is actually, I would say, probably from your favorite book in the New Testament. This is where this verse comes from.
Which book?
1 Peter.
Oh, you got it. Wow, you do know me. That's crazy.
We're friends for a reason. Ew. But 1 Peter, starting in chapter 4, verse 7, this is what he says. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another, which is what we talked about in our last episode. And then it says, love covers a multitude of sins. Verse 9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So, there you go. Be hospitable to one another. That wraps up this episode.
That's it. We're done. Thank you guys for listening.
Colton, can you tell me what hospitality is, or what does it mean to be hospitable?
Man, so I think without giving like a just a generic...
Without giving the real definition.
Without giving the real definition. Let me give you my cool guy definition, as your listener would put it. I would say hospitality is the way in which we treat one another with love, with the invitation of bringing each other into our homes, laughing, you know, telling stories, just hanging out, right? Being brotherly, sisterly in our love to one another. I think hospitality specifically really should be geared towards, like I said just a second ago, an invitation, a kind of a gathering of an arm around one's shoulder and going, mm-hmm. Hey, come do life with us, right? Come into, there's that lame, you know, phrase that everyone hates, you know, doing life together. But it really is. I think it should be an invitation into the home and going, hey, you know, come see what... come see what we do here, right? Come be a part of what it is that we do in our home and how we speak with one another and how we encourage and cherish one another. And we want you to be a part of that. So I think that's how I kind of picture hospitality. You know, I don't know if you have something else that you'd like to add or chime in on that, but
what you're saying is that it's the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers.
Yep, that sounds about right. That's so succinctly put, man. I'm so glad that you know you could put words in such an easy way.
Well, you know, sometimes I don't know what words are coming out of my mouth when I start a sentence. But
okay, Michael Scott.
No, but Google, that's what Google says. And so I was just copy and pasting Google there for us. because I do think it's interesting because it says guests, visitors, and strangers. So this is not just two people who we are directly involved with. We should, you know, love them and treat them and have be generous towards those who we are directly involved with, you know, i.e. in our local church, but also to the visitors who come to our local bodies and also to strangers. And so I think one thing that I've noticed so far in the three one another's that we've looked at, peace, love, and now hospitality, do you see how it starts off in this like small frame, be hospitable to those around you in the local body. And then it broad, like those words are broadened out into the rest of the world. And I really think you see that when we look at the life of Christ. Don't we see that pretty clearly, that he has this love for the disciples, but we see that love expand, to the people that he's going and eating with, the sinners that he's going to eat with. He's not just isolating himself and only being hospitable to those who have chosen to follow him, but has also extended that hospitality out towards the sinners who have not yet trusted in him for salvation.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, Austin. I think there have been times in my faith journey where I have, I wouldn't say wrestled, but you have different churches that focus on different things. You have churches that are they espouse that they are, evangelistic churches. Right. Like, you've got those, I guess I don't want to say this because I'm not really a fan of this model of church, but the seeker sensitive, right, kind of model where they're all about bringing in lost souls into the doors, and so every given Sunday is going to be very evangelistic, very, surface level, trying to get people to understand the gospel or whatever that is. And then on the flip side, you have churches that are very much centered inward, and they're all about themselves, right? And not in a bad way. It's just, they take to heart, they really take to heart this idea that the church is for the church, right? It's God's people for one another. And I think that there has to be a point where we do recognize that it is our job as Christians, it's our calling as Christians to, like you just said, the loving one another's is for those within the body, but it's an extension outside of that as well. I think you brought up a good point that I think we do see pretty clearly in the scriptures that, when the Lord gives a commandment, oftentimes it is centered at our own heart first inwardly, and then it consistently broadens outward until it is touching every part of our lives.
I like the description of overflow. It is like as it overflows from our heart, it is going to touch those immediately around us.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, extend out towards those, that it might be around those that we care about the most as well.
Yeah. I think, I kind of think of it like this. Our pastor this morning was, or one of our pastors this morning was saying that, we don't have a goal to just give you something else to do every single week. Like, that's not our intention. Our intention is that as you come to this place, as you hear the word, as you sing, worship to the Lord, it's that you would grow in your love, you'd grow in your passion for the word of God, for the Lord and what he's done for us, and that it would extend ever so out from your life. And I really appreciated that view, because I think sometimes you do come to church and there are these pastors who just give you, another thing you got to do, right? Here's just another thing that you need to do according to the scripture, another thing. And I think we lose sight of that. And when we think of the word of God like that, then all of a sudden, bringing it back to our topic, then hospitality is just another thing that we have to do, right? Yeah. Like, it's just another thing on the list. Oh, I've got to have people in my house because God wants me to. I got to feed people because Jesus fed the 5,000, it's just another thing. And all of a sudden, we start to miss out on the beauty of what hospitality is supposed to be about. When I think of hospitality, I really think of, I love coming back to this picture of the church in the beginning of Acts. Acts chapter 4, it says in verse 32, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need." I don't think the purpose of that passage is to say, hey, we all need to sell everything and just let the church divvy it out. I think the purpose of that passage is to show that the church itself was about the well-being of one another. And I think that's the heart of hospitality.
Well, I was about to say, I think where Google, where we have to separate from Google's definition is Google says it's a generous reception and entertainment of guests. I don't necessarily think that our hospitality towards one another is entertainment. So you kind of touched on that, you know, like where it's entertainment feels more like this. Well, I have to go and I have to have people over to my house and I have to do these, I have to cook for them and I have to do this. And I have to do that almost as if when they come over, I have to put on a show.
Right.
To entertain them. But rather if hospitality is rooted in love for one another, I think we're going to be coming back to that. Like we said last week, we're going to be coming back to loving one another
and over and over.
So, but hospitality is rooted in loving one another. And from that love for one another, we have, we desire to be generous towards one another that,
right.
You know, we don't want to see anyone wronged or hurting, but we want to, lovingly reach out our hands and care for them and be as generous as God is allowing us to be. In whatever situation we may find our church or the people in our church or the people that our church is ministering to outside of the circle of believers that we're constantly around.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting that we're talking about this topic today because we really talked about this morning at our church. You know, like college students have started to come back and we made our church was making the point that several years ago, we realized that we were within a 10-mile radius of like 10 to 20,000 college students. And you think of that time in everyone's life. Like I was just talking to a former student of mine last night. She was texting me and my wife, and she was like, man, it's been so difficult for me to find friends, even within the church, because like the church can be, the church as a whole can be very cliquish and it can be difficult to find community when you're not from that specific place. And so this morning at our gathering, at our local gathering, we were talking about the fact that we want to be a people that is genuinely caring for one another in our midst. Now, it doesn't matter if they're a college student or they're a you know, young adult or married, just had kids or older. We want to make sure that we are bringing one another into our homes. You know, he gave the illustration that, you know, there was a story of a family of our church who would have college students on a weekly basis come in, and there would even be times that when the parents were putting their kids down for bed, they would go, hey, look, our child would actually would like you to read them a book if you'd be okay with that. And it's kind of a really unique picture of the fact that the parents are showing their kids that, hey, look, we fellowship with other adults, and these other adults are going to have meaningful impact in your life. You know, just as Paul tells Titus, hey, older men teach the younger men these things, and older women teach the younger women these things. Like, I think the picture of hospitality is that as you're bringing each other into your home, into the muck, the ugliness, the messed up rooms, or all the toys are strewn out or whatever, like you're letting people know, like, hey, look, I get it. Maybe we should have cleaned up. It could be a little bit more presentable, but I mean, isn't that the picture of the gospel, that we were not presentable to Christ, and yet he still came and died on a cross for our sins. And so, you know, I think the invitation has to be for each of us to say, you know what? We want you to come into our lives as you are, as we are, because here's the reality, you know, here's the reality of our circumstances. And we want you to see that one day other people are going to step into difficulties in their life, and they're going to wish and pray that someone will be there for them when the baby won't stop crying and the house never seems to be clean and, you know, everything in between. You know what I mean? So,
And I think another thing that we're going to be hitting on a lot as we talk through the one another's is it's really hard to practice this. Like you're talking about having people over to your house or doing, you know, you use the overused quote, doing life with one another, which I still really appreciate that phrase. I think it gets overused in some scenarios when it's not really applied, but
yeah.
I do think that, I mean, how can I be hospitable if I'm not around one another, if we're not around one another, and how can we share and love and carry one another's burdens? Because I think hospitality also, which we'll talk about this in the next episode, is, you know, how do I carry one another's burdens? How do we carry burdens?
Absolutely.
If we haven't first been hospitable and been loving and sought after peace with one another, you know, like that. So in order for all, for us to properly carry out the one another's, we have to be involved in each other's lives.
Yeah.
You know what's, you know what I really love about this? I want to mention this for the sake of Christians who are listening to this, that Peter gives this command to the whole body, that it is expected for each member of the body to be hospitable towards one another. Right. And then we see Paul talking to Timothy and to Titus in Titus chapter 1 and in Timothy chapter 3, when he gives these qualifications for overseers and deacons. And the overseers, he says in verse 2, right before verse 3. He says, therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable. And then the next one he lists, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome. So he gives all these characteristics. But isn't it interesting that he would give one of the characteristics is he should be hospitable, a characteristic that's expected of every member of the church. And I think one thing to look for as you are at your church is who is the this, I don't mean this to sound like to be pointing at someone as a, and to boast in their works, but ask yourself the question as you're looking for elders, who's the most hospitable in this room? It may be, I'm not saying it is always, because it could be that they're a deacon, or it could be that, man, God has just really given them a heart of hospitality. But I mean, it kind of elevates the call to being an elder. If everybody is practicing hospitality, then the elder, how much more should he be practicing, or the deacon, how much more should they be practicing the hospitality of the believers?
Yeah, I think that's good. Well, now let me ask this question, and as we start to tail off and you know, kind of hit up the end of this episode, let me ask this: how do we fight? I don't want to say a spirit of laziness, but how do we fight our own hearts when we don't care to be hospitable? And let me kind of lay the groundwork for this. You know, we've got a child and we've got a second one on the way, and life is busy. Daughter's at school all day. Then she's got, you know, events in the afternoons. My wife is taking every Tuesday. She goes and volunteers in a local ministry, teaching inner city kids, helping them with homework and school and all these things. And then I'm working a full day, right? I'm going out, and my whole day is about interacting with other people, talking to other people, catching up and doing these things and trying to build relationships. So sometimes, man, the idea of hospitality and being around people, entertaining them, you know, sometimes even this, a simple act is getting up on a Sunday morning and going to church or going to a small group. Those things can feel draining to individuals. And I think it can cause us to go, yeah, you know what? That's not what I need. What I really need is peace and quiet right now. So how can we fight this mentality of, I would say, a spirit of loneliness almost, and to understanding that having hospitable people around us, having community around us, is one of the vital things we need to be fighting for as believers?
Well, I think first, I want to fight against the idea that some people are extroverts and some people are introverts.
Ooh.
So for those of you, like, here's how we define them. Extroverts, like, gain energy from being around people. Introverts gain energy from being in quiet and silence and solitude. So I say that because I want us to think that even though we might be some are more extroverted than others, the Bible calls us to love others. And so if you are saying to yourself, man, I just don't have the energy for these people, I want to push you to Paul, who I believe in Colossians talks about the energy that he receives from Christ, the energy that he has from the Holy Spirit. right?
That's good. Yeah.
And so the source of our desire to be hospitable cannot be an overflow of our love for people first, but an overflow of our love for God first.
Love that.
And so when we build our energy, I'm using energy because Paul uses that in the ESV. He uses that word energy.
I like it. I think it's good.
Like from, and our sources from the Holy Spirit, we'll find the strength in the midst of our weaknesses, to be hospitable to one another. And I want to pull that motivation out of two places. The first one is what we talked about at church this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is Moses' command to the Israelites. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He proclaims this truth about the Lord.
You're in that text too, man.
Yeah, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Yeah.
So that's a truth about God. Now, from that truth, how should we respond? And he says, here's a command for you. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And he says, in these words, I command you today shall be on your heart. So from that point, he then addresses the household. And he says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall walk with them you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And so I say that to say this, that you had mentioned in your particular scenario, man, I got a kid, I got one on the way, I got a wife that's tired, she's working, I'm working, my kid, I haven't got time to hang out with them. I do think that as we promote the word in our lives day after day, because we love the Lord, then we will begin to invite other people into that with us, because there are people who are experiencing the same power of the word that we are. And we grow off of that. The Holy Spirit uses community to build one, to build us up. And so in this passage, I think what a remarkable testimony to our children to say, I'm going to love the Lord by being hospitable to these people, and you're going to come with me as we walk along the way, and you're going to hear me talk about the word with these people. And so we want to be generous with our time, because ultimately when we're generous with our time towards those who are in Christ, we are also showing our kids how to be generous and hospitable with our time to those who love Christ as well. And if our root, our energy comes from the Lord, Yahweh, the Holy Spirit, then they're going to see this weak man that we are being strengthened by a strong God who gives us the grace we need to continue to be hospitable.
Love that, man. Love that. I think you also said something really key there, man. And I think it plays into something you said earlier, but we should have a desire to be around other hospitable people. We should have a desire to be around, and we are encouraged and strengthened by being around other like-minded believers who feel the same way that we do, who think the same way that we do, who worship the same God and encourage each other, right? Not stomping out our fire, stomping out, our spirit. And so I think that's key. So I would encourage those listeners on here that being hospitable is amazing. But in your hospitality, in your searching out other individuals, maybe within your church or in your group that you want to build around you, make sure that you are around believers who are going to encourage you with the word, who are going to lift you up. They're not going to tear you down, right? Being around people who tear you down, that's only going to harm you in not only your faith walk, but also in your home life and your jobs and in your community and everything. It's just going to seep out. And so being hospitable doesn't mean just taking in bad, negative energy caused by a worsening faith. We want to be encouragers, and we want to be around encouragers. So,
right. I want to add one more thing. Also, the word energy, I think because we don't use it very much, it sounds so cringy.
Yeah.
But I really would. I mean, this is a word that Paul uses, and he uses it as a point of emphasis to say that, like, he is receiving these things from the Holy Spirit. But that's not really what I want to say. I wanted to use this last example The other verse I was wanting to, I was thinking about as we think about like how should we be hospitable, or you know, in these times that we feel weak and tired, I think about Romans 12 after Paul lays out the whole gospel. He says in verse 1, therefore by the mercies of God. So he uses the whole gospel as a point of emphasis. Is you want to know your motivation, therefore by the mercies. Look at all these mercies that God has shown you. And he says, live your life as a living sacrifice, more hospitable. That's exactly what we're doing. And God says spiritual worship. So hospitable, our hospitality is a part of our spiritual worship towards the Lord. And there's no better example that I've seen than Jay Grisham. Jay Grisham, man, I remember we went to the Delta to help those who had been hit by the tornado. And someone asked, why are you here? And Jay, without hesitation, said, we're just vessels who've been shown a lot of mercy. And we just want to show other people mercy. And what you don't know is he was just generous with his time and his efforts and his heart towards these people. And I think that just needs to be our heart. Like, we've been shown so much mercy. Why not, you know, let hospitality and love and peace and the other one another's flow from our hearts.
Love it. Love it. All right. Well, that's going to wrap things up for us. So be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at The Exiles Pod, as well as private messages, any question you may want answered. You can also contact us with your questions by emailing us at theexilespod@gmail.com. We have a new podcast every Tuesday. So before you exit off, be sure to leave a review, share this episode with your friends, and give us a like. And until next time, peace.
See you.